We'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. If you are blessed by this radio ministry, would like to help support it, your gifts would be greatly appreciated. Gifts may be sent to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut in Seymour, Indiana. Our sponsor this morning is Sandy Hall in honor of Larissa's birthday. And our flowers have been provided by Pastor Angel in gratitude of answered prayers. Our choir this morning is going to sing for you, Come Thou Fount. Our scripture this morning is from Mark 12, 38 through 44. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplace, and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the show that lengthy prayers, such men will be punished most severely." Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I will tell you the truth. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Our sermon this morning by Pastor Angel Abshire is Giving of Ourselves.
Have you ever wondered if growing up poor could give you better character? You know, there's a whole lot of rags to riches stories going around. But in reality, whether poor or rich, neither really builds character. It's what we do with our situation that builds character. I've heard it said, I've been poor and I've been rich, but I'd rather be rich. I don't know about that. Of course, I've never been rich, so I don't really know. But I have heard that it comes with its own unique set of characteristics. For one thing, you never really truly know if people care about you or if they're after something. As I've said, never really had to worry about that. I do know what it's like to be extremely poor. And I've been blessed beyond measure by it, because it has kept me striving to want to meet the needs of others. And what I know beyond a shadow of a doubt is that the old adage, it is better to give than to receive, is absolutely true. To receive is nice. It is wonderful to know that someone is thinking of you, especially when someone knows you well enough that they get you some small gift that shows that they really know who you are and they have been searching for something that will make you smile. That just warms my heart. And to me, it's the little bitty small things that make a huge difference. But giving, especially giving of myself, giving of my time, giving of my energy, giving of my service, giving of my prayer, and yeah, sometimes giving of my money. Now that, beloved, that satisfies my soul like nothing else can possibly satisfy my soul. That is true satisfaction. Well, certainly no one in the Bible was in any way more in hard times than this impoverished woman that Jesus noticed as she dropped her two mites into the temple treasury. There is an artist who depicted this particular scripture in a way that I had never really thought of, but it's beautiful. In one hand, you see the widow dropping her two copper coins into the temple treasury box, and in the other hand, you see her holding a small child's hand. Does that surprise you? No, it doesn't me either. You see, I believe most of us, and I've been one, that depicts that widow as an elderly widow. But the Bible doesn't tell us that she was an elderly widow. It doesn't say how old she was. What if she was a young widow with children? It's a good possibility. I can only imagine the arguments that went on in her head when she prepared to drop those two mites into the box. It's not just you, you know. You have other mouths to feed. But I need to give to my Lord. And you know, I get that. I have gratitude attacks, and I'm trying to learn to rein them in, because sometimes my gratitude attacks embarrass folks, and I don't mean it to. Yes, I want to recognize other people for the good things they do. But I actually have a need to express my gratitude, just like we all have a need to express our love. We want to be loved, and we want to love. I've always had this need to express my gratitude. In recovery, November is gratitude month. When I lose my attitude of gratitude, whenever that might be, it's a pretty pathetic thing. And I've been taught, when I lose my attitude of gratitude, I best count my blessings. And I get out a piece of paper and pencil and I start writing down my blessings. And very few of them are monetary. I have a lot to be grateful for. And that beautiful parsonage that I live in, I am ashamed. Literally. I've told several people this. I'm ashamed to live in that beautiful place. One person living in that big, beautiful house. I'm kind of like, We do need to count our blessings. This widow gave her all. She chose to give everything she had to her God. You can't tell me that that was not out of gratitude. Jesus noticed what she gave. He sat back and he watched her put that in. And he praised her for it. But you notice, when he praised her for giving all that she had, first off, how'd he know that? She certainly didn't announce it. She quietly dropped it in there. But he knew. He knew that's all she had to live on. And he did not condemn any of the other givers for what they gave. He made a simple statement about the fact that giving had more to do with what was left in the end than what we give. If we give out of abundance, and we give $100, and we have thousands left, we give $10, and we only have 10 left, who gave more? Do we give sacrificially, not just monetarily, but of our time, of our prayer, of our service, of our gifts and our natural talents? Do we give to a point where it is noticeable when you sign up on that sheet to pray? Do you fast? And I don't mean from food. I mean, do you give up something so that that prayer actually makes a dent in your life? When you give your time to your church or to something in your community, is it something else to be fitted into your hurried schedule so you're running along and you got to get this and this and this and this and this done, so it ends up becoming just another frustrated thing that you're putting in that day? Or is it something that actually has a deep sense of meaning to you? In his book about Mother Teresa, Malcolm Muggeridge, how'd you like that name, tells about an Australian man who was so impressed with all that Mother Teresa did for the poorest of poor in India that he gave a huge donation to her. And when she thanked him profusely, he said, "Mother, don't thank me. That is outside of me. I have plenty." So he said, "I want to give of myself." So he stayed around and he shaved the men. He went to the hospital. He prayed for them. He went to the dying ward and wrote letters for them to their families. He spent 3 weeks there giving of himself to the sick and the dying. It is easy for us to drop a check in the plate. It's not as easy for us to give of our time. It's not as easy to donate our time to a community meal, to spending time with somebody in a nursing home, to sitting and listening to someone. These things take a lot more of our time. They're more difficult for us to give of ourselves. People whom Jesus saw in the temple making substantial contributions of cash were not wrong, and they are desperately needed. We in this church are in need of substantial contributions to keep this church alive and functioning. There are those here who are part of the administration of this church, and God bless them that they are part of the administration of the church. It's not fun to see the administrative side of a church. It is so much easier to just come in here and be part of the worship. But it's important to be part of the administrative side of the church, to give your time to the church and to be part of the side of the church that keeps the church functioning. As a church, we cannot function very long without money. We cannot do our part to keep missionaries anywhere, overseas or local, going without money. We cannot keep the utilities in this big, beautiful building on without money. We also cannot keep the spirit alive. We cannot keep the hands and feet of Jesus and his heart alive without gifts of devotion and the heart like the widow's mite. All things are needed. Substantial gifts of money are needed. Gifts of sacrifice are needed. Gifts of time and prayer are needed. Gifts of all nature are needed. We need the kind of devotion to God that causes us to be willing to give of ourselves. Otherwise, the money is no good. Beloved, it is said that money is the root of all evil. But money is what meets the needs of people. It is what gives us the ability to be God's feet and hands. And if we are not God's feet and hands, if we are not involved in missions, if we are not doing community meals, if we don't have things like the clothing pantry, if we're not volunteering at the hospital, if we're not doing these things, we might as well be a country club. And we won't sustain that in this era of COVID without the Holy Spirit's presence and the blessing of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We really have to pray into what we are called to do as a church in this time. And we need to not get too widespread. Somebody came to me this morning and said, Pastor, did I hurt your feelings when I shot down what you were excited about? No, I just had an idea and kind of ran it up the flagpole. No big deal. I want to hear truth. That's not a bad thing whatsoever. We have to notice that this story is placed at the end of the Gospel of Mark. It's the very last event in Mark. Mark reports this from the end of Jesus' public ministry. Mark, the rest of his recordings are between Jesus and his disciples. Mark has closed this section of the public ministry with Jesus' words for the praise of this widow. She has put in everything she had. Beloved, what if we did that? What if we put in everything we had? And I'm not talking just about money. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about service. I'm talking about intention. I believe with everything in me, God told me a few months back, the next 2 years are going to be really hard for Trinity, but there will be breakthroughs. I have watched what happens when just a few people put in everything they have in this church. And it is beautiful and it is brilliant. And I know we all have lives. But this church is really struggling right now. And we need prayer. We need to come together because I believe with everything in my being that God will honor that. So I wonder when Jesus saw that widow put in those two coins, if that didn't give him comfort upon the cross. He visited the temple and he saw the widow make that gift on either Tuesday or Wednesday, and Friday he died upon the cross. It was clear that he knew what would happen when he started out for Jerusalem. I can't imagine what he went through. There was a pastor in the old times when they did things that I wouldn't dream of doing that asked people to stand up and said, "Who will make a pledge for $1,000? And several stood, and they all applauded them. "Who will make a pledge of 900? And they all applauded them. Again, I would never do this. And they kept going down until finally one older woman was left. And she quietly walked up to the pulpit and handed the pastor just a few dollars. There was no applause, but the pastor said, "I think I hear applause from the nail-scarred hands." The devotion of that woman, just the same as the devotion of the widow mentioned in today's scripture, is powerful. It is a worthy and honored gift that each of us should consider. For some of us, giving means a substantial financial gift, not for too many. For some of us, it means simply being present every Sunday morning and supporting our church. For some of us, it means spending a lot of time in prayer. And for some of us, it means donating our gifts of administration to the church. But what it means for each and every one of us is to take that risk of opening up our hearts and giving of our hearts. This next song touches me on the very deepest of levels.